Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Winless run stretches to seven as the Addicts are forced to come from behind to take a point off Oxford with an 8-point gap now opening up to the top six. Welcome to Charlton Live. Hello and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we will be looking back at yesterday's 1-1 draw with Oxford United at the Valley, a familiar scoreline. That's our fifth 1-1 draw in our last eight games. Winless in seven, as I've mentioned there now. It's dragging on a bit this season already, and we're only 11 games into it. So joining me to have that conversation, first up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Hello, boys. Happy Sunday.
Yeah,
it's Sunday. A bit of deja vu, isn't it? It just seems like every Sunday at the moment.
I just wonder if maybe we could just record a show a few weeks ago and then just loop it over and over and then not actually have to get up and record shows. Maybe we should do that.
Well, exactly. But, yeah, you know, positivity on it. I don't know how you can after yesterday. But it's another point on the board, so we go again.
Yeah. and it was a positive second half. We can't brush over that. Also joining us to have that conversation, Mr. Ben Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Hello, mate. Yeah, all good. I was wondering if anyone betting on these 1-1 draws? Shouldn't we?
Someone had a £5 on a score draw yesterday. £20 richer now, I'll have you know. It's interesting actually because you went to see the band Hardfi last night, and Charlton are at times hard to beat. But also hard to win as well. So there we go. That's a good song joke if anyone enjoys music.
We're not living for the weekend.
No.
Looking forward to seeing it, are we?
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, so on this week's show then, we'll look back at that game with Oxford. We've got the highlights coming up shortly. We've got the full Ben Garner post-match press conference as well. A couple of interesting bits in there actually, including his comments on Corey Blackett-Taylor. We've got your tweets and emails. We've got your fans bar reaction to the game as well yesterday. And if we get a chance, which we might not, to be fair, we might look ahead to the game with Colchester in the Papa John's, which I think is on Tuesday rather than Wednesday. But I need to check that because I am planning on going. So, Ben, first half where we didn't have a single shot behind at half time. B- better in the second half. You know, we changed the shape for the first period and it didn't work. We altered it in the second and it did work. But yeah, it is just another, as Nave said, it's another point on the board.
Yeah, if we're looking for positives, it is another point on the board. But, oh, again, just literally as Nave was saying, same as last week, come away so frustrated, especially after that first half. I mean, we were so lethargic in our play. It was just running through the motions, passing it around the back. And when I first saw the team sheet and a different formation, I thought, you know what? That's going to work better than last season, that formation, because you've got proper wing-backs in the right position. If we give Sessegnon and Egbo the ball, they're going to take it forward and we can drive forward up the pitch. But it just didn't work. And then obviously, same as last week, they score around the 10-minute mark and heads go down and there was just no reaction. Whereas last week, we had a few chances, didn't even have a shot on goal, didn't test the keeper. So frustrating. And the goal, we'll talk about it in a bit, I guess, but that just comes from nowhere. Hoof up the field, no one really reacts. But yeah, it was just felt so flat in that first half. I mean, even players that have been playing well, like Rakitić, we just weren't giving him the ball to have a go at them. Yeah, we just weren't purposeful with our play. And even at the back, we got a back three. One of them needs to take that ball. I mean, O'Connell did it once and actually it nearly worked, but no one was breaking the lines of play. Jack Payne, Scott Fraser, give him the ball, let him take it forward, but it just wasn't happening. And to be fair to Robbo, he'd obviously done his homework, as I say, kept Rakitić quiet in that first half and they really pressured us and pushed us up to play it around the back and we were making mistakes kicking out from the back. So they knew our game and in that first half, that change formation just didn't work, did it? And we were just scratching our heads, wondering what we're going to do to get back in the game.
Yeah, and we did change up at half time, and it was a much better second half. But again, I think either side could have won it in that second period. They certainly had a couple of chances towards the end, as we did. You know, that one from Dobbo going through in the last minute. I think a lot of people said you love to see someone going through on goal last minute in front of the covered end, and then when you realise it's George Dobson, you're like, oh, anyone else? I love Dobbo, but that's not his forte. But you know, it is another point. It's seven now without a win. Nave, it is 8 points off the playoffs. Is the season petering out already? Am I writing us off too early?
That's valid, to be fair. I mean, in the recent weeks. But you know what? I'm trying to just to try and keep the season alive a bit and keep the enthusiasm going. I just think if you go on a little run, I'd be more concerned if we're, you know, losing the games. But we need to start getting results quickly if we are going to make any chance. I mean, it's very unlikely if I'm talking with my head, but my heart's saying, you know, a couple of results are kind of a little winning run and then you'll shoot up the table. And we're still early in the season, but yeah, Benji touched on it there. I just find, you know, when I'm watching this at the moment, we're so easy to play against. Teams can just sit there, let us have the ball because they know we're not going to break them down, you know, with that little bit of ingenuity. And if you keep Rakitić quiet, that's our main threat really out the window, really, in terms of directness. But there's a risk that it could peter out, but I'm still think there's a lot, there's some positives, but we're just too inconsistent at the moment. I think that's the key word for me at the moment. We'll have a poor first half and then a good second, or we'll have a good first and then a poor second half. So I just think we need to try to find that consistency and play to our strengths at the moment, because it just seems something's not clicking. And I think, you know, there's certain games that Garner's scratching his head, trying to get the best out of them before, you know, the season does peter out. And it's only October. It's just turned October, which is mad, really. But I can see why people think that, you know, but I won't. Maybe that's delusional or I'm a fool or whatever. But I'll always try and hold on to hope to try and make me come all the way over there and hopefully go up the league, because there are, you know, there's some good teams in here, but there's also some poor teams in here, you know. So yeah, I just think we just need to keep at it and just hopefully I think at the moment I'm just clinging on to that Plymouth game, which was a little bit of an outlier, really. So but yeah, no, I think we've just got to try and be positive. But I can, obviously it's a bit disappointing how we're playing at the moment.
Right, well, let's hear the highlights of yesterday's game. Over on Charlton TV, your commentators, as always, it was Steve Brown alongside Terry Smith.
Gets a header on it, but straight into no man's land, really, and it's picked up by Brown. He's going to take a shot on goal and he scores. First shot in anger in the whole game after 10 minutes. And it's the away team that have taken the lead because of it.
Yeah, sums it up. Long ball, headed back down. Nobody taking responsibility to win the knockdowns. Tempo's been nowhere near. That guy's drifted off. Was it Brown? Drifted off the left-hand side, picked up a loose ball that we should be contesting. He's knocked it about 5 yards in front of him. No one can get near that. We've backed off so far. And then no one even attempts to come out and make a block. Bang, bottom corner. And I will say this, the tempo, considering we're no wins in six, we're at home, the tempo we've started at is nowhere near what I was expecting to see when I turned up today. I was expecting us to be at it, on the front foot, getting in their faces. This is a team that's struggling. In a very apathetic start.
And tried to find Rexaki, couldn't. Oxford clear it away, and Joseph is on the end of this clearance. And Oxford can break. McGuane's inside, into the centre. McGuane shoots to the right of Wallacott, but he also to the right of the post. And Oxford will look to do that most of this game, you expect now.
Yep.
Try and bring Charlton on and then hit us on the break.
Header from Dobson. He managed to find Sessegnon. Not entirely sure that was the intended target. Sessegnon clears it, and it's a good ball to Rexaki. Inside is Fraser, and he's immediately closed down by Henry. Gives it to Brown, who sends it in high into the covered end. But Charlton getting caught out, and the reaction from the fans tells you all you need. He has the ball at his feet for Charlton. Dobson gets the ball caught under his feet a little bit, but just about got it out to Egbo. And there is the reaction at half time from the Charlton fans. The Addicts find themselves a goal still behind. No
good defending by Egbo, but his clearance goes straight to McGuane. Out to the left is Bate. Shooting opportunity, Bate cuts it back onto his right foot. Not once, but twice. Now tees up Brown. It's a good block from O'Connell. An important one as well, but Oxford still have it with Bate. Shot comes in. It's a dribbled effort, which Wallacott can deal with.
Have it back, but give it straight to Fraser, who's in possession. Going down the left-hand side.
Ball, reverse ball back in across to Rexaki. Takes a touch, takes a shot, takes a deflection. Oh, and hits the post. And goes away, I think, for the corner.
Offside, I think he's given Tell actually on the shot. So once stop.
Crowd are calling for a handball there, I think, from the Rexaki shot.
Coming forward, Egbo. Rexaki outside of him on the right hand side. Rexaki taking on Brown into the penalty area. Back onto his left.
Ball across to Kirk. Can Kirk bring it down? No, he can't. Leeburn can't get there. Fraser, can he finish? No, he can't. Now Kirk back across. Stockley does finish. And Charlton are back on level terms. How many chances did it take to get over the line? But does it matter, because we're back at 1-1.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's an excellent ball back across, dug out from the turf by Kirk. And Jaden Stockley will not have an easier opportunity than that all season. I don't know whether the boys said it half-time, but Oxford's crime really is that they didn't punish a poor Charlton first 45 minutes more than they did. That one goal, to me, was never going to be enough. The problem I always have with Charlton is that still one clean sheet in 11. We're going to need two to win. And we've got to stop doing that to ourselves. But at least we've given ourselves the opportunity now.
Kirk comes short. Kirk finds Sessegnon again. Rides two challenges. Still away, comes away with the ball. Stockley then finds Lieber. Lovely back heel into the path of Kirk. Can people get into the box? Charlton players trying to get there. Sessegnon is one of them. And he gets to it, but can't direct it goalwards. He thinks it's come off the defender. The referee having none of it. It's a goal kick.
All the way out of defence for Oxford, and gets the ball into the box, and it's found Bowden. Bowden across. And the shot from Joseph is blocked away by Ennis. But out of nowhere, Oxford break.
Five added minutes. So that's inside Brannigan. Still in possession. Ball into the feet of Bowden. And he's ridden one challenge and all, and then sends it into the covered end.
Listen, it should be a goal.
I said covered in, this is Jimmy Seeley, sorry. Jimmy,
yeah, listen, it's an exquisite bit of skill to send Innes off catching the bus. And it opens up the shot, and he just, as we say time and time again at this level, lacks the composure on the finish. And he gets
towards the edge of the six-yard box. Innes with the header. Gets a good header on it as well to Rexaki. Giacimi making a run ahead of him. Giacimi up against Finlay in the Oxford half. Still Giacimi.
Dobson making great strides into the penalty area. Dobson, save. Charlton, glorious opportunity,
Jones
can't make the most.
Jones with the shots. Wallacott with a save to his right-hand side. Egbo gets there before Taylor gets it clear away for an Oxford throw, but another chance for the visiting side at
that's
the death.
Rexaki, but it's too much on net. And that is the final whistle. In a game of two halves, is the cliche.
But that's what it is.
There you go. Thanks to the boys for that. Thanks to Glove Pop, as always, for providing us with the recording of the Charlton TV commentary. Second half was better. We have been consistently inconsistent, Ben, in that we can't string two halves together. One of our major problems this season has been our defence. You know, unfortunately, one clean sheet now in 11 league games and frustrations with the manner of the goal that was conceded yesterday. So again, I said this after the Fleetwood game when he switched to a 3-5-2 at the back and got that extra central defender in the mix. I think it was Sean Clare who played up at Fleetwood, if I remember rightly. And he tried it again yesterday, slightly different shape. It was a 3-4-3 to start off with, but again, trying to shoehorn that extra defender into the middle of the park to try and make something happen in terms of our poor defensive results so far, if we're being honest. But it just doesn't work. It seems like with our defenders at the moment, just added another one into the mix when all three of them haven't necessarily been the best this season. If anything, it can serve to cause a bit more chaos. I mean, the goal we conceded, it's like they all left it to each other to close down Marcus Brown.
Yeah, you're totally right. There was no real leadership there, no one brave enough to come out to him. I mean, if you freeze frame the goal and the ball's booted forward, Joseph wins the header, he knocks on, there's no one ahead of him. We've got three defenders. Obviously, O'Connell goes up for the header, and then you've got Egbo, Innes, and Lavelle. He wins the header, and then somewhere, Brown just is like, that's mine, runs onto it. No one comes out to it, just drop deep, and he goes, well, I'm going to have a shot here, bang. And it's just, again, similar to last week, how no one closed Benson down. Gave him enough space to go, oh yeah, I'll have a shot here, and it just goes into the top corner. Great, both look great finishes, but at the same time, Garner must be fuming. As much as he can set a side out to defend, well, have three at the back, he's scratching his head going, why aren't any of these players taking leadership of this game and throwing himself in front of that or making a foul, just bringing him down? But yeah, it's just so frustrating, isn't it? Like, conceding literally the same kind of goal 2 weeks in a row and with a different formation. But yeah, I think bravery, leadership in that team, in that defence, no one seems to be confident enough, and no wonder, because, I mean, those two goals we conceded last week against Barnsley, the second and third goal, were just schoolboy goals to concede, weren't they? It was pretty embarrassing. And this week, I don't think it worked, and maybe that was a bit of confidence, but I think as well, there was no pace in that defence. Like, with Sean Clare, if he's a part of that back three, at least got a bit of pace. But, I mean, Lavelle got booked early on, didn't he? Just got skinned by the bloke and just pulled him back. Yeah, majorly frustrating. But, I mean, in that second half, we were lucky not to concede when their main man came on, Taylor, as well. He got skinned. But, yeah, frustrating because, I mean, Thomas is there now. He's probably going, well, how do I get a game? But as Tom said a few weeks ago, if we're going to improve, we need a back four or a back five, I was going to play it, and a consistent one, so they can get relationships together and get a bit more confident doing that. But then when you get errors like that, you're going, well, no one deserves to stay in the team, so I've got to change it about.
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing is, so we can see Nathan why he's trying it. So again, it's we've been too open defensively, so the idea is that you throw another defender into the mix and we should look a bit more rigid. But we don't necessarily. And also, just by doing that, it disrupts our midfield. You know, people aren't playing in the same position and we lose the elements of the games that are good for us. And we do have good elements, otherwise we would be rock bottom. You know, this is why we aren't, because we do have the ability to go and control some games. Even up at Barnsley last week, we did for large spells of the first half. And create chances, but by changing that formation and exactly the same up at Fleetwood, we just completely lose that grip on proceedings, and we lose our only threat. So you can see, again, we'll hear what Ben says. We can see why when I ask him about the changing formation, he does say I'd much rather see the type of performance he sees in the second half, where yeah, we give up a few chances, but actually we are a presence going forward. So I do wonder if that experiment is over now for Ben. He's tried it a couple of times and it just hasn't worked.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, we're in a situation where we do need to try something different, because
you know, we're not scoring enough goals. And I think when we, if we go to a back four, and obviously we've got the two wingers, and he's going to try and push his fullbacks up high, it's obviously leaving us a bit exposed at the back. So I can see why he's trying to go for a free to try and again get his wing backs up the pitch to try and get that service to Jaden, which we all know that if you feed Jaden from wider areas, that's probably where he's most dangerous. I know he's tried obviously dropping deeper and trying to link up the play that way, but then I don't think he's got the agility and the acceleration to get up and meet the play when it gets up there. So I can see why he's tried it, but if you've tried it a couple of times and it's not worked, then you've got to try something different. And when I saw the formation yesterday, I thought, you know, Jez and Payne were going to be a lot narrower to be in and around Jaden, so he could be a bit more threatening in the central areas. And obviously that didn't work either. So I can see he's got to try something. I mean, there's been many a times where, I mean, even you look back at Jacko, we had one way of playing, one formation, and he refused to change it. And we said, well, the results ain't happening, change it. So he has changed. He's been brave. And it hasn't worked, so he needs to go back to the drawing board and on the training pitch to try and change it around.
It is interesting, actually, that you bring that up. So, again, it was something that was said a lot about Jacko last season, Nathan, where he had trained the side in his formation and then didn't often change it. I think he ever so slightly once or twice went to a diamond in midfield when we were chasing a game. But it does go to show, I guess, that when you have trained the side to play a certain way, if you've rip it up and chuck it in the bin, Nathan, it doesn't always work. So you can see... I like the fact the flexibility was there, but also it almost proves the point from last season and at stages this season, Nath, that it isn't always the best idea to change formation when you're drilled in one way.
No, yeah, there is that. And I mean, sometimes I think you need to be flexible to come against different teams, you know. I think, like, for example, if you do play a diamond, it's better playing against a flat 4-4-2 because naturally the angles. So things like that, you need to be flexible in terms of the way you're playing. But I think if you play with a back three, the way it is now is how we set up yesterday. If you have three old school centre-halves, maybe O'Connell's a little bit more technical than the other two, but if you have a flat back three, that's literally taken one person out of the midfield or winger or whatever, out of that sort of central area where you want to create goals, and you've just got a flat back three. And if they're, and Benji said earlier, if none of them are breaking the lines, which O'Connell done once or twice, then you're sort of negating your threat up front again. Then you're relying on just the two wider players, and then you've got Dobbo in there who's a sitter. So I thought it negates us a little bit in terms of how we're trying to play. But yeah, I mean, like I said, he's tried it. It didn't work. But he's got to go back to the drawing board and try and get the best. Because let's be frank, I mean, we've not got Chuck still. And, you know, Jaden's going to start and Miles is still young and learning. So, yeah, you can't just rip things up, because otherwise you've got to stick by your principles and play a way that you believe in. Otherwise, there's no point being a football manager. Otherwise, if you're just going to listen to everyone on the sideline and play what everyone else thinks, then you're going to be in a bit of bother. But... yeah, it's interesting how he's going to do, but he's got a lot of work on his hands, which he said, I think he said a couple of times, he's got a lot of work on.
Yeah, and he repeats that during our press conference with him, which we'll hear shortly. So we didn't have a single shot on or off target in the first half. And I was arguing at half time that we should just start shooting from anywhere to stat pad, so it makes it at least look like we had a shot. And funnily enough, Egbo did do that at the start of the second half, shot from... I'd say just outside the centre circle, really long range effort that went up. But we were better second period. And no surprise when we changed to a formation that does allow Rakitić and then Charlie Kirk, who came on to get into the game. Potential handball appeal for the shot from Rakitić. I don't know if you had a view on that, Ben. But the goal itself as well. I'm so delighted that Jaden Sockley has been given some service, because that's the sort of goal he'll score 10 times out of 10. He won't be missing that. But how many chances has he had like that this season? I genuinely can't think of a single chance this season where you'd expect him to score 9 times out of 10 that he's had. So I'm delighted that finally Charlie Kirk's got involved and provided one for him, because he's needed that big time.
Yeah, totally. As you said, like, Jaden hasn't had those balls into the box, like perfect delivery. That's what he wants. He wants to be lingering at the far post. Bizarrely, no one was marking him, probably because it was a bit of a goal mouth scramble for a little bit, wasn't it? And then a little bit of quality from Charlie Kirk pitched it up. So pleased for Kirk as well, because I thought he came on and changed the game. I thought him and Chin were, well, and Sessegnon, where we nearly scored for that goal, which was a great move. And then Chin did so as well. They linked really well down that left side. And I think that's what hurt Oxford, because we were working both sides of the pitch. Egbo and Rakitić were linking well. So we looked a lot better. And I think people were braver, as Garner says in his interview. People were braver on the ball. They trusted our system. Scott Fraser, I thought he had a really good game yesterday. He was always ticking the play over. Give me the ball. Let's keep it moving. And as Nath so rightly said there, taking a defender off and giving us another option up the field, let Jaden come into the game a lot more. And obviously having Miles there as well. I thought he played really well in the second half, Jaden. There was a few times where he dropped deep. And you thought, is he going to head it on? That won't work. And he chested it down, brought others into play. It was, if we are looking for positives, which of course we're trying to do, we've got a lot of games of this season left. That second half was obviously a big positive, because there were some players that really stepped up. And I loved the reaction when we scored that goal. Like, I don't know if you saw Kirk's face. He turned around to the crowd and he's pumping his fist. Like, come on, here we go. And obviously it was about 40-odd minutes left, including injury time. Thought we could go and win it, and we had that big chance with Sessegnon. I said him and Kirk, great 1-2, 1-2, and nearly scored. And yeah, we had chances to win it in that second half, but I think, yeah, well, as I spoke to a few fans after, it'll be interesting to see what formation now. Do we go with that formation going into the next game?
Yeah, it'll be, I'd be surprised if he doesn't try it, at least from the start of a game, that 4-4-2 in the second half, which was much better. I mean, other talking points, Charlton XL will be pleased to know that I'm not going to play the Carl Robinson post-match press conference, but we did speak to him after, and he was insistent that Ryan Innes' strong challenge, I think it was on Marcus Brown, but I could be wrong there, in the second half, could have been a red card. I thought it was reckless, if he'd thrown himself into the challenge with that velocity and not timed it well, because he did get the ball, then I think he would have been sent off. But because he got the ball to an extent, and it was therefore only a yellow card for me, I don't know, Nath, if you think, we can talk about Ryan Innes and his reckless challenges every day of the week, because he seems to do one every game, but it was teetering, I'd say, and I'd say just about a hard yellow for me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones. Really, on the other day, he could have got a straight red, and then obviously, luckily for us, the ref said it was a yellow. But I think there were a couple of challenges, and I think, like I say, there's some games that you're going to get them, and some games you don't. But yeah, we all know that Ryan is partial to a strong, firm tackle. That sounded a bit weird, actually, but we got away with it, if it is that, but. He just seems to lose his head now and again, but and then put us under a bit of pressure. But Robbo does like a talking point, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he does. He's a classic, like, 10-minute post-match conference. We had a nice little chat with him after as well. It's like, so I can handle him in little spells, but yeah, they've got their takeover now at Oxford. It's going to be very interesting. We spoke a little bit about it on Thursday. Right, let's hear from our manager then, Ben Garner. The Addicts boss came in to have his press conference after the game yesterday. I asked him for his thoughts on the performance during the 1-1 draw with Oxford United.
I think the less said about the first half, the better, if I'm honest. I'm struggling to find positives with that in any phase of the game. A much better second half. I felt a really positive reaction. We're unlucky with the one that hits the post. We keep pushing, we get a great goal. I thought we were really close to going ahead with a wonderful move that Sess was middle of the goal, and I thought he was just going to put in, and the defender came across, and then we have obviously a fantastic chance late on to win it. So we've had a few of them, you know, even late on in games, even in 90 minute plus, we could have won 2 or 3 games this season, and that shows that the fitness levels are good, that shows that the spirit is good, and we just need to see some of them going in the back of the net.
Try something different again in the first half, that three at the back. I mean, slightly different, but similar to what you tried at Fleetwood, and again, it didn't really work. I guess you're trying to cover for the fact that you've been a bit too open defensively, yeah. But it hasn't really worked either time so far.
No, it hasn't. And you know, we're trying to find a balance between being able to attack and have the purpose we want, but not then being open and teams being able to go through us. So, you know, we have to find a way to do that. But I'd much rather play how we did second half and have a go and be on the front foot and be attacking. And if it means, you know, we give up one or two opportunities, then I'd much rather that than being passive as we were first half. We didn't show enough aggression, we didn't show enough purpose. And for me, that just doesn't sit well. That's not how I am as a coach, and I never want to be that way.
I guess probably no surprise with the fan reaction at half-time as well, some booze at half-time.
No, absolutely, and absolutely justified. And, yeah, just like I say, I'm struggling for positives in that first half. Fortunately, we did react, but I'm working a lot harder at half-time than I would like. You know, we're having to do quite a bit, we're having to inject things, we're having to ask for things, and I want them to be given. And that's what we need as a baseline at this football club, that there's energy, there's intensity, there's passion, there's aggression in our game, and then we can work from there.
And that second half shape does allow you the likes of Rucksacki and obviously Charlie Kirk to get involved more, and that's where you're at your best.
Yeah, I thought Charlie had a really good impact. Jez has, he has moments every game of just sheer quality, and for a young player he's done ever so well. I thought Miles Leeburn coming on had a really good impact, and I thought a huge bonus today was Richard Kitchin coming on at his young age, and he'd done fantastically well to come on as a young lad and pick up the pace of the game and defend as he did and give us the energy and enthusiasm going forwards. That's testament to how he looks after himself and how he trains on a daily basis.
And a massive moment as well for Jaden Stockley with a typical Jaden Stockley goal, which we hadn't seen yet this season.
No, I thought he did really well second half with Miles, and they had defensive responsibilities as a two, but then obviously we wanted more of a threat, and you know, that was a brilliant ball. It really is on his weaker foot, Charlie Kirk, to stand that with the detail that he did. And Jaden's in the right place at the right time, which is what we want from him.
Should you have had a penalty before that shot from Rucksacki?
Yeah, it hit his hand. I've seen it back, his handball. The more worrying for me, I'm so thankful Mandela Egbo didn't break his leg today, because that tackle is over the top of the ball. It's disgusting. It really is. And I'm just very, very thankful he hasn't come away with a serious injury.
I mean, Carl had something to say as well about Ryan Innes' challenge in the second half. We've seen he likes to throw himself into them. What did you think of that one?
I thought it was aggressive. I haven't seen it back. It looked a booking. I thought he went in aggressive, got something on the ball, but probably, in the interpretation now, a little bit too aggressive. But I didn't think it was dangerous at the time. I just thought it was a full-blooded challenge. Unlike the one on Mandela, which is, for me, premeditated. He's gone over the top of the ball and he's looked like he's looking to hurt him there.
So seven games winless now. I mean, five of the last eight have been very similar to today. One all draws and probably similar performances. One half you're quite good and one half not quite good enough. What is it you can do to try and shake yourselves out of that little run?
Work hard. You know, there's no, I keep saying it, there's no shortcut here. We have to be really thorough with our work on the training ground. We have to keep trying to build confidence within the group. And what we're trying to do, you've had previous probably three, four transfer windows here where players have been signed with no real way of playing or no real style and playing. So you've got one type of player that fits a certain system or a certain style of play, but then you've got another that's completely different. And we're now trying to uniform that and get everyone on the same page and playing the same way. And we need probably another couple of windows to do that the way we would ideally like. But in the meantime, we have to find a way of winning games and get as many points on the board as we can.
You had a couple missing today. Some of the changes you made weren't even on the bench. The likes of Blackett, Taylor and Morgan. Are there injury worries there?
No, there's no injuries. The only one, Sean Clare was ill. So Sean Clare was missing for illness. Albie and Corey were just my decisions. There's certain standards now in terms of what has to be put in, and one of those didn't meet that in terms of effort and intensity and work rate. I want a reaction from him. Hopefully I will get that. But moving forwards, that's not an option anymore, to take the easy option and not push yourself. Anyone not running and working for the team just won't be involved, won't play.
I mean, because Corey in particular is a threat down the left-hand side. Obviously, there's still a lot of final product to use there. But was that quite a tough decision to leave him out?
No, it wasn't, because he gave me no choice, to be honest. His effort and intensity for the team last Saturday at Barnsley wasn't good enough. We had to defend with nine players at times. And I'm not accepting anyone that doesn't give 100% for this football club and for the shirt. So, the badge on the shirt, sorry. So, it wasn't even a decision. It's a non-negotiable, and he's spoken to me, he's apologised, he's reacted now, and it'll be a clean slate for him next week.
Yeah, and it's Colchester in the Papa John's this week. So what sort of team are we thinking, more sort of changes, give people like him who perhaps would need minutes now?
Yeah, I don't see anyone that started today playing, but there's players that need games and need opportunities to play. So as I said, in every competition we want to go and try and win the game. That'll be the case on Tuesday, and that'll be the case on Saturday at Lincoln.
I was quite honestly, Ben, when you say about that, you say that Albie as well, didn't he?
No. Albie was just, we only had one midfield player on the bench today. That was purely a tactical decision.
So it was just Corey that you weren't.
Yeah, he's and like I say, there's nothing personal against Corey. That's the same with any player. It's the second time this season I've had that conversation with an individual, and I think everyone knows now. I think everyone's clear on the minimum requirements to play for this football club. And like I say, it's done. Boom. He wasn't involved today, and he starts with a clean slate next week. And if I really like Corey as a player, I think he's got wonderful talent and obviously his athleticism. I think the sky's the ceiling with him, but he's got to buy into everything that comes with that and put the effort in to maximise his talent.
The other player you talked about, it was obviously Charlie Kirk as well. Mm. And again, his assists and some of his stat returns are very, very promising, aren't they? And obviously today, lovely ball across. So he has got that quality for you in the final third.
Absolutely, but the thing with Charlie today and the difference probably a couple of weeks ago, defensively he's been fantastic today. He's come on, he's got back into shape, he's worked hard, he's pressed, he's done his job for the team. And that's a minimum requirement. Then his then talent on top of that is him as a footballer. And I think we can all see today, what great talent he's got. And he can create goals. He's got wonderful ability off both feet and he's a goal threat. So the pleasing thing for him is how he's reacted since then. His attitude in training, his work ethic coming on today is top class. But that is the minimum requirement from every player.
Is Sean Clare, was that just illness then that he missed out today?
Yeah. Yeah, he was ill and then trained yesterday and that knocked him back a little bit. So we were hoping he could be involved. And he got through training okay, but then it knocked him in the afternoon and he was sort of back to square one with the illness. So he's just resting up and hopefully we can have him back, if not for Tuesday, then for Saturday.
It looked live like it was a great strike by Brown, albeit perhaps didn't get closed down as he sort of advanced on goal. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know, disappointing. You know, we've got three centre-halves there. One of them's got to go in and get pressure on the ball. From our point of view, again, it's a kick and a dropping ball and then it's hitting the back of our net. It's just not a good goal to concede. And like I say, I think there was grey areas there first half where people took the opportunity to go all the way. I'm not sure that's my responsibility. Someone else can go and do that. And we took that away second half by being matched up, basically, and everyone having a clear responsibility of what they had to do about the ball.
What did you think of the late chance for George Dobson, obviously? Yeah. Great ball through to him. Keeper comes off his line quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Dobbo's had a knack of doing that late in games where he sort of burst from midfield and great energy to get there. At the time, I thought he took a heavy touch, but seeing it back, I think his touch was okay. He probably just delayed the strike a little bit, and credit to the goalkeeper. He came out very quickly and made himself big. I think by the time he struck it, there wasn't really much to aim at. I think it was just a case of taking it a little bit earlier, but he's disappointed because he feels he should score and he's that type of lad, but I'm pleased to see him getting there and creating the opportunity.
Yeah, that's the important thing, isn't it? You need to actually be in there to kind of try and take those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, we're creating enough. You know, we're one of the top sides in the league for creating opportunities. We just need to take them more.
Do you think, is that putting you off from going back to a three at the back with this couple of times you've tried it and it hasn't really kind of done what you wanted? Or do you still see yourself trying it again in the foreseeable future?
It can work. It can work. I've played it numerous times previously. I played it a lot last season and it can work. But you have to commit to it. You have to do what we've worked on. And I didn't think we did that. First half, whatever reason, we went inside ourselves and played within ourselves, and any formation wouldn't have worked first half when you're like that. So I don't think it's the formation as much. I think it's the commitment towards what we're doing and the mentality to go for it a little bit more. And if we've won five out of the last five games and we're doing that today, it would look completely different, I'm sure. So it's building confidence, and the best way to do that is win games. And we need to try to target two wins this week coming now, and that will give the players more confidence than I can ever do. As much as I can encourage and speak to them and try and motivate, we'll keep doing that as a staff, but nothing will give them confidence more than winning games.
Right. Just quickly, Ben, on Dobson, obviously disappointing to miss that chance late on, but how important is it that doesn't sort of overshadow what was, I thought, a really impressive performance from him in the middle of the park?
Oh, absolutely. For me, he's been the most improved player since I've come to the club. Coming in, I knew he was good without the ball, defensively fantastic. I think he's a great example of what we do want in terms of, we're talking about work ethic, intensity, aggressiveness, focus. He's like that every day. If every player was the same, we would transform as a team, because he gets the most out of himself every single day. But he's really brought into what we're doing. I think he's hugely improved on the ball. He's showing bravery. His receiving ability has improved. His range of passing is improving. I didn't actually think he was as good today with the ball as he has been, but on the whole, he's done really, really well. And George Dobson, for me, will never be a player that I'll criticise because he's got there. He's in the position. It's not a lack of effort. It just didn't go in. And I can always forgive that. I can always forgive that.
We've got a question here as well.
There was just one question, Ben, quickly. There was a small protest on Floyd Road complaining about the owner today. I thought we'd send him to get you in trouble. There are a few chants going around the stadium as well. They're probably the kind of thing that dies down after a couple of wins, but I just wondered if you had any reaction to that at all.
No, firstly, I didn't know anything about it, and secondly, I can't control or do anything about that. My focus is on the pitch in that dressing room and trying to get the best out of the team, and that's where my focus will remain.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Johnny!
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlotte has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live. Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday. Hope you guys are well. It's Louis Mendes, Ben Cloak and Nathan Muller looking back at yesterday's 1-1 draw with Oxford at the Valley. Just heard there from the gaffer, Ben Garner, after the game. So we've spoken a bit about, you know, the run and all that, but there was one thing that really stood out yesterday. So I asked him about the changes. No Albie Morgan in the side, no Sean Clare in the side, and no Corey Blackett-Taylor in the side. Now, as we heard there from Ben, basically Clare was ill, Morgan was just not in the side, he was just dropped. But the Blackett-Taylor quote stood out like a sore thumb for me, because he is one of our danger players. You know, I thought in that first half at Barnsley last week, he had his opportunities, he had the beating of his man a few times, but I was surprised to see him not in, and my assumption was it was going to be an injury. But as Ben said there, he wasn't happy with the effort levels with what he saw up at Barnsley, and it's the second time he's had to do it this year. The other time being with Charlie Kirk, who missed out the squad a couple of times, and has come back, to be fair, and looked a bit better. So he's obviously hoping for the same reaction, but that must have really frustrated Ben Garner last week, Ben, in order to drop him for this week, because as I say, he is a threat for us. So it must be a reasonably difficult decision to leave him out.
You're right. I think it must be a difficult decision because, as we were just saying, in that first half yesterday, they isolated Rakitić and Payne was kind of drifting in and out of the left side. But we know how much of a threat Corey can be. And as you said last week at Barnsley, he was getting into good areas. He was skinning their defenders. But as usual with Corey, his final ball or his end product of shooting or crossing at the right time just doesn't seem to be there at the moment. I mean, he had scored against Forest Green a good goal. And after that, he ballooned it over a few times. And last week, it was quite frustrating. I personally didn't really notice that he wasn't running back a lot last week. But I think it's great for Garner to be honest with us fans and tell us what's happening at the club, because you don't want to just go, oh yeah, he's got a little knock. And I think maybe his style of management is to publicly just say it how it is and see what the reaction's going to be. As you said, Charlie Kirk got that a few weeks ago. He said in training, Kirk's not up to standard. And I said yesterday he came on and played well and was really passionate when he came on. So we hope we can get that back from Corey. I don't know whether he'll risk him because obviously he does struggle with his injuries on Tuesday against Colchester. But let's hope for a reaction from him because, look, Corey, we know what a crucial player he can be. And having him and Jez either side does cause defence problems. As I said, his game's not perfect because he does get in great areas and unfortunately his final end product lets him down. But yeah, if attitude, and it's a marker for the rest of the side, isn't it? It's like, as fans, we are all disappointed with the performances we're seeing at the moment. And if the effort's not there, that's even worse because we're paying hard-earned money to go up to Barnsley. And if we're watching the players not put effort in, all right, we're losing 3-0 and you're not running back. And then it turns into 4 or 5, that gets even worse, doesn't it? So, yeah, fair play to Ben for coming out and making a statement like that. And it just lays a marker for the rest of the side.
Excellent stuff. Ben wasn't getting drawn into any conversation about, you know, there were a couple of songs that, against Thomas Sandgaard yesterday. And I'm not surprised, you know, I think the frustration has really set in. It wasn't a massive amount of fans. You know, that should be pointed out. I'm not trying to stoke controversy where it wasn't, because it was only a few fans yesterday. I'd imagine as the season goes on, it might get a bit louder if we continue to struggle. There was also that one banner on a house down Floyd Road. It's a reasonably well-known Charlton fan, but it's not my my place to start telling people where fans live. But I don't know if they've outed themselves on social media that it was their house for the banner as well. But we did see that comparing Thomas to Ebenezer Scrooge and to Roland as well, and saying that he's tight. So we are seeing some of that sort of unhappiness, which does meander through the fan base to an extent. Not everyone, but with some coming to the fore yesterday. But yeah, Ben not getting drawn into that at the moment. We'll see if that becomes more of a talking point as the season goes on, but me and Richard certainly spoke about it on our SLP Reacts Twitter space last night as well. You know, the shortcomings, we've spoken about the shortcomings of the owner quite a lot so far this season as well. So yeah, that has certainly been covered and did start to rear its head a little bit yesterday. But we've also got loads of tweets and emails, so I want to have a bit of a chat about them. Mitch says, I'm seeing a lot of fair play to Garner for changing it. I'm going to try that at work. Be awful and lazy for half a day, then hope I get praise in the second half for actually doing my job after lunch. He says it's a League Two manager, League Two players, and that we are League Two abound. All hell let loose as another week at Sparrows Lane goes by with no discernible evidence that the sow's ear of a squad are being turned into a silk purse. Will it be possible for Ben Garner to turn this current squad into playoff contenders by next April? Discuss. Well, Nath, I mean, so we've said it, 8 points off. Is there enough in this squad? I mean, Ben said himself it would be an overachievement with this squad to get into the top six, and you know, we can probably see why.
You can see by the results that we're short in certain areas. I don't think it's out the window completely, but it's very, there's a very small glimmer of hope that I am with my rose tinted glasses on. But I think it all depends really on Chucks. If you know, if we can keep him fit, I think the January transfer window is going to be key, because I think that the nucleus of it, I just think we're underperforming at the moment. I don't think we've got a bad, I mean, if you on paper, I know games aren't won on paper, but I think on paper our squad is quite good, and it's a lot better than where we are in the table at the moment. It's just for whatever reason it's not clicking at the moment. And I've said many times at the moment that the positive so far this year, you're looking at, in my opinion, our two better players is Miles, who's his first senior season, and Jez, again, first senior season on loan from the other lot down the road. So, and that, I think that says quite a lot. I know Fraser's done well as well, but I just think we're underperforming at the moment. And I just think once we get that win, I think things will pick up. Well, I hope they work. I think at the moment it's a confidence thing. And at the moment, you know, yesterday it was clear to see there was, people weren't being brave. People didn't want to get on the ball. People didn't want to make things happen. And everyone's a bit more passing responsibility, which the first goal, you know, shows in abundance, really. Everyone was expecting someone else to do a job instead of someone getting hold of the ball and go, right, I'm going to
take the game by the scruff of the neck now, and I'm going to dictate it a little bit. But yeah, it's a long shot. Don't get me wrong, it's a long shot. But if we ain't got hope, there's no point in us going, right?
Yeah, well, Stephen, a reader says, I'm hoping he took Stockley off because he was injured. If not, sack him now. Yeah, I was slightly surprised to see Jaden Stockley coming off the last couple of minutes for DJ, but then DJ was involved in that chance that led to Dobbo. Right, Kevin says, 8 points isn't a huge gap with so many games left. Unfortunately, though, the quality and size of the squad is a massive issue. I'm more worried about the 3-point gap to the bottom four. That's from Kevin. And then All Hell Let Loose says another question. If Charlton have the fourth highest budget in League One, where is all the money being wasted? Because we certainly do not have the fourth best squad in either depth or quality. Has a lot of this budget not been spent, or has it all been spent on agents' fees? Yeah, I mean, that is the problem, I guess, with coming out and saying you're in the top four budget is, you know, as Ben Garner said himself, a top four budget, not always exactly, but it's a very good indication of where you should finish in the league, and obviously we're quite far off that at this moment in time. What Strayball says, believe it or not, I think we were better off with Roland. At least Bowyer, JJ and their management team got the players motivated. I think we now have good players, but poor management and have lost that togetherness a Charlton man in charge brings mostly. That's from Strayball. Simon says, improvement in the second half, which was difficult, wasn't difficult. Surely Ben Garner starts with a 4-4-2 in future. As for liability, Innes, I'm sorry, but will he never learn? He was lucky with just a yellow. And any ideas what he was doing for the Oxford goal? He backed off way too much, invited the shot. Yeah, we certainly felt we should have been closing down Marcus Brown for that shot. Right, Paul says, presume we've seen the last of a three at the back. First half was as bad as I think I've ever seen a Charlton team play in 40 years of watching us. Thankfully, the second half was a better formation and some attacking play, and we could have snatched it at the death. Robert says, Thomas really needs to start getting the fans on side after a deluge of negativity lately. It would be ethically and morally right for him to offer heavily discounted games or kid for a quid matches in this cost of living crisis. If you have a family that want to go to matches, one would be looking at the basic things in life, food and heating, etc., before. Let's help those who are struggling, but in turn help create the atmosphere as well. Help the fans equals helping the team. It's not that hard, is it? That's from Robert. Simon says, the league table doesn't lie. Average squad, no depth, poor at both ends of the pitch. The club is going backwards under Sandgaard. Walcott fans not interested and unwilling to pay the overinflated prices. Ben Garner doesn't seem willing to work on our defensive frailties. The club is unrecognisable. John says, trouble with the owner imposing a style of play, in my opinion, has led to no actual style of play. I wonder if the players are as confused as I am. Stevie says, I think the second half proved that 4-4-2 is more effective. Playing champagne passing football is all good, but if you don't get the ball in the opposition box, you ain't getting out of League One. Need to be ruthless and clinical. And then finally, Sir Darcy says, what surprises me most is that I'm still watching this, a team devoid of a working starting 11 or formation. Don't mind us being poor. Seen enough of that over the years, but we're on to Adkins Mark II. No lessons learned. Pitiful player investments. I'm almost done with it. Well, let's hear from another fan as well. Now, Ben delved into the fans bar yesterday to ask a supporter for his views on yesterday's draw with Oxford.
Disappointing. I thought first half, I thought we were really poor. I thought we improved second half, which begs the question of why we didn't start with two up front in the first half. Defensively, I don't know, we're lacking a bit, but I worry that the manager isn't getting the best out of some of the players, particularly Stockley. I think, you know, last season Stockley looked a much better player. I don't know. I was very disappointed as well with some of the crowd chanting for Thomas Sandgaard out, when to me we should be aiming the disappointment at the manager, not the owner. I find that a bit strange. You know, if we're not careful, the owner might decide to say, well, I don't need this. So I do think we do need to stick behind the owner. We certainly improved second half. I thought Kirk had a really good second half. When Kirk came on, I thought he played well. I was a little bit baffled, I've got to say, with 4 minutes to go, why we take Stockley off and bring Jai Simi on, which I've just felt astounded, because, you know, we're 1-1. Who's more likely to get you a goal, Stockley or Jai Simi? So I found that a little bit strange. But I don't know, we go again next week. I mean, we didn't get beat, but yeah, a disappointing result.
What did you make of the change of the formation today at the start of the game? Obviously, it didn't work, but...
I thought the start of the game, like I say, was disappointing. I'll give credit to him at half-time, because he changed it at half-time, and the changes at half-time were positive. I think they were quite good. But to me, week in, week out, we're making the same mistakes. You know, why are we not being more, particularly at home, more pro... active up front at the start of home games? You know, to me we should have had Stockley and Leeburn on at the start today. So I'm disappointed from that point of view. It ain't all doom and gloom, but what I would say is, if people want to start chanting for the owner to go, be careful what you wish for, because we might end up being another Bury if you ain't careful.
There we go. Thanks for doing that for us, Ben, yesterday. Every view's welcome on Charlton Live, so thanks to the fan that you spoke to as well for sharing your opinion. We've got a couple of emails as well. Chris Hartley says, morning, we look like a lower half of the table team. What concerns me is what's going on at the club behind the scenes, and are the decisions being made at the top driving the club to the bottom? I got the logic of sacking JJ and bringing in Garner, but where's the logic of not giving him the tools to do the job? If you're not going to invest for Garner, surely better to keep JJ and allow him to build a team. Do we have any idea if there is a coherent strategy to make the club sustainable and get us promoted? Because I can't see it, and we're not hearing from the top about what their plan is. Well, I guess we heard, Ben, quite a few times that they want to increase revenue and make the club break even, which is the strategy. I think the concern is where the building blocks are going to be put in place for that actually to happen, and if it's possible. That's my concern at the moment. Not the fact that there isn't a strategy, because there's something they want, there's a plan or an aim, but it's whether it's actually achievable.
Yeah, and I think the plan's changed, hasn't it? I mean, at the start, with all the bravado that happened, we're going to have a 5-year plan, we're going to be in the Championship and be a stable club, then push for the Premier League and blah, blah, blah. And because it suddenly seems to have changed over the last 2 years, although... kind of, I say Thomas doesn't like to admit that the plan's changed, because as he said to us on the pod, oh yeah, we're going to have a top 2 budget. Then it's changed to saying, oh no, it's top 3 budget and winding up other clubs like Portsmouth and etc. It's hard for supporters, because we're getting a lot of mixed messages. And I agree with that fan there that emailed in to say, like, we just need like a clear direction from Thomas and be honest and say what he's hoping to achieve here, because it does seem... very confusing as fans, because as we've said many times on this show, to break even in this league doesn't really happen. And if it does, that means you're not really pushing to get out of the league. And what is our aim? Surely our aim is to get out of this league, because you're not going to get much revenue and income into a League One club. It just doesn't happen. So we desperately need some stability around the club. And I've seen a lot of sackings this last few week in the Championship, and I don't think that's going to help. I mean, if the results, look, if they get drastically worse, then we might need to look at changing it up, because we don't want to get sucked down the bottom. But I can't see that happening at the club. I think Garner is a good manager. He said yesterday in his interview it's going to take him a few transfer windows to really stamp his style of play on the side and get the right players in to play in the right system. We're seeing positives. We are unbeaten at home. We are getting a lot of 1-1 draws. How do we turn them into wins, etc.? I do hope he gets time. And I do hope, as fans, as you said, there were quite a few boos yesterday at the end of the game, especially at first half. I don't think that helps, because, yeah, he's trying to change it up. He's trying to put his own stamp on the club. But, yeah, I hope Thomas, obviously, was there yesterday, does give him the time. He hasn't had the right tools yet. And we do have a bit of stability around the club, because it doesn't help keep chopping and changing managers.
Yeah, well, Michael McHale doesn't agree with you. Says, hi all, something has to change Step change the season as it's not working. Here's my suggestion. Sack Ben Garner. It's a nice bloke, but it's not working. Appoint Lee Bowyer. Reduce ticket prices by 25% and start Bowyer's tenure with a football for a fiver. I'd be very surprised if Bowyer was desperate to come back after walking out not long after Thomas took over in the first place. Which probably should have set alarm bells going at the time, but there we go. Right, we haven't really got time to look ahead much to Colchester. It's Tuesday. I imagine there'll be a lot of changes. Papa John's game. I did ask Ben about it in the press conference, as you heard there. So it'd be interesting to see what sort of side gets put out. But hopefully a morale-boosting victory. We only just played Colchester in pre-season, didn't we? And won a really entertaining game 4-2 up there. So hoping for more of the same this Tuesday. We'll look back at that game briefly on Thursday, of course, when we look ahead to next Saturday's game up at Lincoln. My train tickets have just been cancelled because of the strike. So I'll be driving up there now. So hopefully everyone can get up there by hook or by crook, and we'll see a few of you up there. But for now, we shall say thank you and goodbye. So thank you to everyone who sent your messages in for today's pod and spoke to Ben in the fans bar. Thank you to both Ben and Nath for speaking to me this fine Sunday morning.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, lads.
Absolute pleasure as always. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We shall see you again on Thursday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.